This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, we are starting. I've done this several times. I've got all kinds of notes. This might take a very long time, but I want to read right away and I want to pray. Lord, I pray that you guide us through this podcast series. I pray that you just make it clear what you want us to know about sexuality and what it means to be composed in this area, to glorify you in this area. It's really all about glorifying you in this area, and shame and hiding and promiscuity aren't a part of that. So I pray that you would build us up and that you would refine us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to read right out the gate here. Genesis 2. And the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from man and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So we're talking about not just... never mind. We're not talking about going back to the Garden of Eden with our wardrobe. We are talking about this shame that has... surrounded our culture, and dignity that's been stripped from our culture, and how we have a church that just doesn't know what to do with the topic of sexuality. You know, we reserve it for midnight, you know, youth group night or whatever. But we really got to get on the ball here, because we have got people asking, "What am I? My boy? My girl?" And this is what's at the root of that. The root of that is there is no dignity in man and woman. What we have is spill your cup in all of these jars, because that is where you're going to get fulfillment. It's like the buffet line. I don't know about you, but I get sick after a buffet. What's the idea of buffet? All kinds of food from all different places, and as much as you want. That even sounds bad. First of all, there's no distinctions between cultures. You can get pizza, you can get Mexican food, you can get hamburgers, you can get fried rice, and you have no distinctions. You have just fill your plate up with all of this stuff and enjoy it. And first of all, it's not authentic. It's junk. For a couple of days at a buffet restaurant. I've worked everywhere. And it doesn't taste that good. It might fill me up, but I'm most likely getting sick if I really eat all that food. But you see what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying don't go to a buffet. What I'm saying is, the inauthenticity that is driven into our culture, the blending of, and I'm not talking about ultra individualism, but the blending, you are no different than anybody else. You should not be proud of, or find dignity in being a woman or a man. You should not do that. You should not be composed. You should pour your cup into all of these options, because that's the only way you're going to get fulfilled. And what it does is it cheapens it. It distorts it. It lowers it. And we need to remember we were made in the image of God. We need to remember that we have worth enough that Christ went to the cross for us. This isn't about loving ourselves as much as it is about dignity. So let's hit some areas. Let's discuss some reasons why we might need to keep listening to this podcast or turn it off. This is going to be on YouTube as well, because I have pictures to share about where I was at. A little personal testimony time. But there are four reasons that I kind of put together that we might need to visit this idea. Abuse, molestation, rejection or neglect. This can be familial or spousal or peer. Violation, when we've allowed... I make it such a strong word because it really is a violation when we allow the culture standard of sexuality into our heart. This keeps women bundled up in flannel pajamas, a sweater, and a robe, and then going to sleep. And their husband like, okay, well, good night. This keeps us in a state of shame because we don't look like that. And I'll tell you about the major hurdle that I've been battling and getting through. When we carry the world's idea of sexuality and what it means to be appealing, what it means to be a woman, and we outsource it to media who's trying to make a buck, we outsource it to... what we see or what we perceive, assumption is deadly. Assumption is deadly. When we do that, we rob ourselves piece by piece of our own dignity. And so then four is promiscuity, and that's how we destroy ourselves ultimately. But there are things to consider when we're going to tackle this head on. And one is... sexual appetite consumes just as much as hunger. Any teenager who's come of age, like hit like a truck, that this thing cannot be ignored. And it shouldn't be ignored. What it doesn't need to do is lead to sin. Two, God is our help. And I've got a bunch of verses that I saw. That I would, just want to share a couple. Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. This is for us single ladies, who we struggle with this, and we struggle with this want and this desire. Well, we have a helper, period. We have a helper. And if we're a guy, I am not the source for that. You need to talk to a guy, but I think the role is different. I get to the gym or something, but you need to think about marriage and you need to think about being bold in that. And also for us parents who are dealing with kids, we need to remember to be realistic when it comes to making our kids wait for marriage. Now, you don't need to marry the first person you're interested in, obviously, but you doesn't necessarily mean they've got to wait till they go through all, their doctorate degree before they get married. I just really feel like we need to be more loose-handed with that. These are real struggles that our kids are dealing with. But God is our help. Also another verse, Psalm 91:14-15. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Just a few, you can look up, Lord, I need help verses. And you'll have, there's 25 of these encouraging Bible verses on help. The site is Bible Reasons. Three, sexuality is not the fallen part of our makeup. Okay, I'm not going to get into that more, but it's just not the fallen part of our makeup. Manage it like a good business. We manage a business seriously. smartly, prayerfully, decidedly, realistically. And that's how you need to manage your sexuality. Seriously, smartly, prayerfully, decidedly not going to sin, maybe. Decidedly not going to date that person who doesn't know the Lord, decidedly. And realistically. I'm never going to hold hands, you know, whatever it is that this is so individual, in the sense that this, and as I share my testimony and what I did to overcome some of my prudishness, and I would really, that's the way I would say it, ill confidence. That's not a word. I just made it up. I always make up words. Lack of confidence and prudishness. I had just posted some photos a while ago, and then I went back and I erased all of them, and I was in panic mode, like the hives. I was getting hives, and they weren't even that bad. But I've seen way worse on, you know, worse on Christian ladies, and I was getting judgy, and I was getting clenched fist, and I was getting small hearted over it. And I thought, you know what? Pictures aside, something needs to happen. Something is wrong, and it needs to be addressed. It is unrealistic to expect the world to acquiesce to my weaknesses. I posted a couple of tweets. This is what happens to women in some cultures where shame is aligned with sexuality. With that comes the need to find a villain. And so women have to cover head to toe because they are the villain. They are the bad one when the sexuality isn't handled well. Or you have Western culture where we went to the lake a month ago, Zeke and I, and there was a nudist part of the lake or open part of the lake, right? I don't know what they call it. And my son said, that is unnecessary. It is unnecessary. It's not a well-managed business when your business is everywhere. Does that make sense? Putting our sexuality is not a platform. It is very intimate. It's between you and God and you and your spouse. And so when I share my testimony, how I worked this out, I took a bunch of photos. But I'm not sharing them. You're not going to see them. They're not for you. Sorry. So they were me working some things out. So let's read. Let's get to our passage finally. And that is Song of Solomon. And that's a good litmus test for you, if I haven't mentioned that, to be able to read Song of Solomon without blushing. We are meant to be able to handle it. And I'm afraid that our culture is just so pent up. We're two extremes, right? We're pent up. We're covering, you know, that's just a symbol. Cover all you want. But it's symbolically, you know, that skirt needs to be below the knee. You know, we're just very tight-fisted about how we express ourselves. In the feminine form, and we're very scared. We're not supposed to be operating with fear and shame and tight-fisted control of that which we cannot control, nor are we supposed to be everything everywhere all the time. Don't even go to the open part of the beach and waste it all. So, we're in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 3, nope, verses 5 through 7. And let me read. I am black, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, do not stare at me because I am swarthy, for the sun has burned me. My mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me caretaker of the vineyards. But I have not taken care of my own vineyard. Tell me, O you whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? So we're getting a glimpse into this very, like, to the thought process of this very strong woman who knows exactly who she is. The first thing out of the gate, she says, I am lovely. That's where we can stop today. I will show you, we'll post these pictures. They are hilarious, but I would be surprised if you could recognize me. I didn't even recognize myself. You can't tell whether I'm a boy or a girl in these pictures. I was trying to control something that was totally out of my hands. Don't let the looks deceive you. I was a lust ball. I would have these just deadly crushes on guys that would never know. And I wasn't dateable because I knew one kiss led to the bedroom. I knew that's where I was going. So I just pushed it down, pushed it out, and wore the frumpy. I don't think I had one pair of fitting jeans at all. I could not deal. And I had no heal. I didn't have any idea how to get healing. I didn't have any idea I could turn that over to the Lord. I didn't have any idea or any glimpse of what He wanted me to operate like. That He had dignity in mind for me. That He had confidence in mind for me. That He was willing to help me. So when this last episode of pictures that I put out that I really liked, I mean, I never liked the shape of my body. And then I wore that dress and I felt beautiful. I'm not ashamed to say it. And so I took all these pictures and I posted them and then I was like, and almost swallowed my throat. Took them all down, put up ones that I thought were tame. Maybe they weren't. I'm just so insecure about it. I don't know what to do. And so I was like, something's got to give. I had been going to the Lord every day. There's a promise on my future and a broader plane and all of this. And I was like, I cannot present this. Let me tell you, one of the main things I thought I could never present is that my stomach was damaged in emergency surgery. And why I say damaged is that they really weren't. I had a cyst the size of a baby. I looked pregnant on my wedding day. I was not pregnant. I had this huge cyst. It was huge. And so they took it out, but they couldn't. I was so skinny, they couldn't pull enough together to muscle together to sew me up correctly. So I was not sewed up correctly. I'll show you that picture too. I decided, or I just started compulsively, just taking a whole bunch of pictures of myself, like a narcissistic woman, but that wasn't the purpose of it. I just took picture after picture after picture after picture. And it wasn't in a celebratory sense, I wanted to overcome my shame. And And I knew that even if I was walking out to this broader plane, that if rejection was part of that, and rejection is always part of it. But I've kind of been living in isolation, but rejection is part of this world that we live in. I was going to be okay. That I was going to be familiar with myself enough that I wasn't worshiping myself. See, she says, I am black, but lovely. She knows what she looks like. She knows what she looks like on the inside. She is aware of who she is. And all I wanted to do was be aware. I was the kind of person that could go all day and not look in the mirror. And I get to the end of the day and I'd be like, whoa. Surprised I didn't break it. You know, not healthy, not even connected to who I was. Not even connected to my ability to appeal. And all of us, we don't think we have that power. I was listening one time to a comedian, and I think it was either Chris Rock or that other guy, Dave Chappelle. And he was telling the audience, he was telling women specifically, and I'll try to get that clip. He was telling them, you are beautiful. You need to stop worrying about this. But we have been so lied to as women that we don't feel that we are going to appeal to anyone, anytime, anywhere. And it's not true. And so you may not go the route that I do and take a bunch of pictures and put them in categories and then look at the pictures and say, well, that's a little to the left and get rid of that one. That one's a little, that's not even well compositioned. I looked for composition, I looked for artwork, I looked for pose, I looked for dignity, and all of the pictures that I took, and I kept the ones, and I put them in order. I put them in, they weren't very creative. I had a blue album, I had a pink album, I had, you're not seeing most of them, I had a morning album, I had black and white, I'll show you a few. Appropriate ones. And I think, did I say purple, pink, blue, black and white, and morning? Like not, yeah, MORNING. So, not very creative, but as I got rid of pictures, that it was just not well compositioned. This one is. And even when I was racing about, well, I don't like the look of my face, or I didn't like it bad, or I didn't like, you know, yuck, and I erased a bunch of them, I would go back to the trash bin and I'd be like, no, that's not so bad. And I bring it back and I bring it back. And I wasn't disgusted with myself. I wasn't overly criticizing myself. I was, if celebrating maybe is an okay term, but I wasn't trying to fall in love with myself. I was trying to restore my image of myself. And so I can recommend it for maybe some of you, you know, who are struggling. This isn't for everybody. This isn't, sexuality is not a platform that we're like for everybody. It is for you. And then if you have a healthy relationship with your spouse, you can just say, my self-image is horrible. And I need some help with this. And I did find out a few things. I found out that my backside needs some work. And I found out that I like myself with less makeup. I was wearing an evening dress that was, yes, it was low cut, but that's not what was bothering me. What was bothering me was all the makeup. I looked like I was waiting for customers. It was awful. So I learned that, and I learned that it's better for me to wear things that end at my waist, that just meet it, you know. I can't wear low-waisted things. Because of my stomach or whatever. But then I also learned that, you know, my scar, yes, most of the world's going to think it's super ugly. I'll post a picture. It's going to think it's super ugly. But I am okay. And when that rejection comes, I may struggle still, but I am aware. I'm self-aware enough. Notice what she says to the onlookers who are probably looking down their nose at her. She tells them, back off. Why? She knows who she is. And she knows that she's lovely. She's very self-aware. She's not self-absorbed. She's self-aware. Over self-absorption is just another sign of insecurity. We gotta, you know, wear less, put on all of this. And it can be a sign of insecurity. But we know this woman, knew when to push people's opinions back. And if we're not self-aware, if we are already starting out the gate with an image of ourselves that is dirt level, then we have no resource from which to push back. We have not fed ourselves dignifying thoughts. We have allowed our hearts to be poisoned. And we've forgotten whose image we're made in. And so I want to peace out with that. And peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.